Putting the Greek budget cuts in context.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in New York. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It was another tense weekend in Greece. Protesters lit buildings on fire in Athens as lawmakers did what they had to do to get more bailout money. They passed major spending cuts and reforms. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The measures are exceedingly unpopular among the Greeks. Just think about this if it were happening in the U.S., Greece's minimum wage will be cut to $728 a month. In the US, the federal minimum is almost twice as much. 150,000 Greek public sector posts will go. If the equivalent cut occurred in the US, 600,000 Americans would be losing their jobs. Student Anna Marie Piscopani says the extra austerity has deepened the gloom in Greece.
We are in a constant fear. We cannot depend on anything. We cannot plan anything because we do not know what's coming. We don't see hope.
There's even uncertainty over whether the latest measures will win Greece a second bailout. The Eurozone finance ministers are demanding some further cuts and will meet on Wednesday to consider whether Greece has done enough. At the European desk in London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In Washington today, President Obama will submit his 2013 budget request to Congress, and one of the signature pieces is expected to be hundreds of billions of dollars in spending on infrastructure. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports now on how long it would take to get those projects going if, and it's a big if, Congress were to say yes.
Infrastructure projects have some downsides. For one thing, they're generally really expensive. And, says economist Paul Bingham with CDM Smith,
it just takes an enormously long period of time. Estimates in the industry of more than a decade from initial design to actually getting final permitting and approval from all the levels of government.
At the same time, not all infrastructure projects are created equal.
Transportation has proven it's a good way to get jobs moving the economy fast.
John Horsley is executive director of the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials. He says funding for roads can be put to use within 6 months.
State, cities, and counties can find a way to pick projects that are not held up by environmental reviews or other bureaucratic obstacles. We can get that money out and working in the economy.
The president is proposing to spend around $500 billion on road projects. Horsley says it would take twice that much to fix all our infrastructure problems. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher across Europe and Asia this morning, up 0.5% in Hong Kong and up almost 1% right now in London. The stars are not lining up right for Japan, though, which said this morning its economy shrank more than 2% at the end of last year. That's because of natural disasters as well as the euro crisis, which is hurting Japan's big moneymaker, exports. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow dropped 89 points to close at 12,801.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Gas prices are on the rise again. The average price of a gallon is up to $3.51. Meanwhile, prices for natural gas are plummeting. Unfortunately, though, most of our cars aren't made to use natural gas. So when is the natural gas industry going to be ready for prime time? Well, Bill Johnson is the CEO of Progress Energy, which is an electricity company that deals in natural gas as well as other energy sources. And he joins us now from Raleigh, North Carolina. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, so what is the dream scenario for the natural gas industry? How much of our energy future can involve natural gas, and how long is it going to take for that to happen?
Well, from what we know about the gas supply in this country, I think we have 100 years of natural gas here. If we can extract it safely and get it where it needs to be to consumers and company like ours. But it's a great part of our energy story for the future.
And when you say 100 years, I mean, how much of our energy will be natural gas, will come from natural gas percentage-wise?
Well, I would think over the next decade, we'd be moving toward maybe 25-30% nationwide. So I think over the next decade or so, it's going to burgeon into a main supply of energy, at least for the electricity sector.
I need to ask you about the downsides, which are not insignificant to extracting this natural gas. There have been reports of water contamination, the strong stench of chemicals from fracking, and even an increased number of earthquakes. Why should the public accept these downside risks for an industry that we don't know all that much about yet?
Fracking is not a new thing, or hydraulic fracturing, whatever term you want. We've been doing it for 30, 40 years in this country. And so we ought to be able to do it right to make sure that there are no environmental impacts from it. It's like any other natural resource. If we're going to use it, we're going to extract it. We have to do it the right way. People pay enough time and attention and look at the science and look at the equipment they use and the methods. We should be able to do this safely.
Then why do you think there's so much opposition already to fracking?
Well, I do think people have the concerns that you mentioned, right? Particularly drinking water, which is on everybody's mind, you know, all the time. I don't have any problem with people being concerned about this at all. I mean, I'd be concerned if there was a problem with my drinking water. That's what we ought to be pursuing. How do we do this safely and get this resource that we really need?
Bill Johnson is the CEO of Progress Energy. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's great to be part of a show that I listen to regularly.
And finally, to the talk of the NBA, Jeremy Lin. If you haven't seen him in action yet, he's a 23-year-old Harvard graduate who was being dumped by teams as recently as December. He made his big debut with the New York Knicks just this month and has already become their star player. The reaction from fans has been dubbed Linsanity. Well, it turns out Jeremy Lin's old high school basketball coach bought up the website Linsanity.com 2 years ago. He's now using it to sell Jeremy Lin T-shirts. Problem is, according to the New York Post, while he had the foresight to get the website going, he didn't think to actually print the T-shirts, and now he's got a bit of a backorder problem. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.